Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. It is December 10th, and we are on our third day of our newsworthy articles, and today we're going to be talking about what kids should be doing in school. And I have two fine guests with me, and we're going to review what we talked about yesterday. This is our third day of our articles, and we've talked about coffee and how it influences or has an impact on our workouts. And then yesterday we talked about our guts and the emotions that we feel there. And if we remember, our guts just means our stomach or intestinal area. We talked about how often when we really are talking about our stomachs, we very rarely refer to them. Our gut is our physical entity in our body. We usually talk about it when we're talking about feeling, which I thought was kind of interesting. But I want you guys to introduce yourself and tell me what stood out to you yesterday.
Hi, Linda. I'm Linda C., and happy to be back. And yesterday we got an explanation to why we feel these emotions, you know, in our gut area. And that's due to the microbes that are there. When we feel, especially when we feel stress or anxiety, our body releases these stress hormones. And the microbes have receptors for these hormones, so that's why we end up feeling these emotions in our gut or stomach area.
Okay, and a receptor, as it's being used here, I think we often think about that in terms of computers. So if we think of our bodies as a computer, it's our nerve endings, okay? So it reacts to change, and then it sends that message to our central nervous system so we feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. And what about you?
Well, hi, everyone. This is Josh. I'm very glad to be back again to talk about more newsworthy articles. And I've actually had a lot of newsworthy things occur in reading these articles. But for me, one of the newsworthy ones from yesterday was this idea of serotonin production and how the microbes in your gut can affect that. So serotonin, as we learned yesterday, is the chemical that's produced in your body that helps carry impulses between receptors in your nerves, as well as create like a sense of well-being or fullness, help with your sleep. And so what was fascinating for me was to learn that the happy microbes in your gut really do affect the way that your body produces this.
All 100 trillion of them. So we have a community there. We all have a community there in our stomachs. Okay.
And hopefully a happy little community.
Mm-hmm. Producing, we hope, serotonin. Yes, they do. I guess they do help with the production of serotonin. Eat chocolate. Okay, so today we're going to talk about, we have an entirely different article. It's about exercise and our brains, and especially in relationship with children. So we're going to read this half of the article first and discuss it, and we are on page 20 of your Advanced magazine. So if you have your magazine with you, please turn to that page and follow along, or if you have your digital device and you have Advanced on there, you can turn to it and follow along as we read.
To do better in school, kids should exercise their bodies as well as their brains, experts say. Attention parents, if you'd like to see your kids do better in school, have them close their books, set down their pencils, and go outside to play. That's the latest advice from an international group of experts who studied the value of exercise in school-age kids. Physical activity before, during, and after school promotes scholastic performance in children and youth, according to a new consensus statement published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. What's more, exercise and fitness are beneficial to brain structure, brain function, and cognition, the experts concluded. The group of 24 researchers from the United States, Canada, and Europe came up with this advice after poring over the latest scientific and medical research on the benefits of exercise in kids ages 6 to 18. The experts, from a variety of disciplines, gathered in Copenhagen to assess the value of all kinds of exercise, including recess and physical education classes in school, organized youth sports leagues, and old-fashioned outdoor play.
So we see the title here. It says it's giving us a suggestion. To do better in school, kids should exercise their bodies as well as their brains. It just kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the concept is sort of, a no-brainer, right? It seems so simple, but it's something that is ignored often today, because we're either too busy doing other stuff to, advance our kids in school, for them to excel, that we don't pay attention to simple necessities.
Or simple exercise. Because now, when it seems like when kids have a lot of free time, they're using a digital device, either a phone, a smartphone, or
tablet.
Yeah, some kind of tablet to play games, and that is not exercise.
Not at all. And it's really easy to lose a track of time. When you're doing those sort of things, it's very easy to spend an hour or two and not even notice it.
I think about that. You know, it's so easy. Like, if you go out to dinner and you're taking a small child with you, I've seen, so many parents, hand their kids.
The babysitter. Yeah.
Right, hand their kids. I was thinking about, when my kids were little and we did that, I always gave them, small toys, little trucks or something to play with on the table.
Or, a coloring book.
Activity
book.
Right. It was quite different.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it does keep them busy and they're not exercising, so... And this is not about computers, but I think that for parents, we really need to be careful what we're instilling in our children. So it says here, I like the way the article starts, attention parents. If you'd like to see your kids do better in school, I don't know of one parent who doesn't, have them close their books, set down their pencils, and go outside to play. As you said, Linda, simple.
Yeah, and in the way it's stated here, it might seem contrary, right? Well, if I want my kid to do better in school, that means that they have to do scholastic things, which we'll talk about that word later, but things related directly to school, like studying. Why would they close their books and put down their pencil and go outside? That's not something that's directly related to their studies.
And it, like you said, it's counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
You would think that as far as studying goes, that you want to study hard, and then maybe after you're done as a reward, you can go outside and play. But this is actually saying that the two are very closely related, that you have to play and study in order to do well.
Well, I think for people in offices, we've done articles. I know in Studio Classroom, we did an article that sitting is the new smoking, and even for adults, that the physical effects of sitting are as bad for you as smoking. So, for adults, we say, get up. You have to get up. You can't go home and make up all that time of sitting all day long. You have to get up and walk around your office or do something. So why do we think it's any different for children?
Right. And actually, kids need more playtime.
Right.
I mean, recess used to be a big part of the school day, where they can play, go outside, and, it has many more benefits than just, getting physical activity.
I was thinking about this when I was reading the article, because in elementary school, we had recess twice a day, in the morning and in the afternoon, and we also had lunch hour. So after lunch, after you ate your lunch, you went outside to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it really didn't matter how cold it was. And I grew up in a cold climate. So, even if not when it was 25 and 30 and 40 below, but, when it was pretty cold, below zero, kids would be outside playing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in addition to your physical education classes. So that
right.
is a lot of exercise. I don't think that happens today.
No, it's slowly been...
eroded away and taken away, So we see that this is the latest advice. I just think this is so interesting. This is the latest advice from an international group of experts who studied the value of exercise in school-age kids. And one would think that this would be very common knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it says here that physical activity before, during, and after school promotes scholastic performance in children and youth. And you used this word scholastic a little bit earlier, Linda.
Right, and that just relates to school or education. something educational.
So I think it's kind of interesting, physical activity before school. I mean, when we went to school, we also played outside before the school bell rang. Or, I mean, I know that, you know, cities are becoming larger and it's maybe not so, in some cities it's not so safe for kids to walk to school. I lived in a, from the time I was 10 in a small town, so we walked, you know, to school, just some kind of exercise.
I think it's great when I see parents walking their kids to school. I really do. I think it, you know, it's a good connection for the parent and child, but it's also a good exercise for everybody involved.
Right. And during and after school. And notice the word, the verb that they use here, what does it do? It promotes scholastic performance in children and youth. And I know a lot of our audience is shocked to hear this because, as we said before, it's counterintuitive. You know, we would think, oh, yeah, we have to study. But really, it's amazing what physical activity will do. So, actually, I do some seminars, and I always encourage teachers. They have, it's been shown that even in a classroom, if you get kids up and walking across the room, that it engages their brains, the neurons in their brains, and that they remember more, you know, instead of just looking at their book and listening to a teacher and writing down what they say and never moving out of their chair. If they have some kind of movement within that hour, they actually remember something. They remember it more. So we see that this is a study. It says, according to a new consensus statement published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. And if something is a consensus, what is that, Josh?
Well, a consensus can be sort of a generally accepted opinion, but a consensus can also be amongst a group of people where everyone in that group has decided to agree with a particular statement of fact or opinion, right? So that would be a consensus decision or consensus opinion.
And notice that it's, you know, this reminds me of what we were talking about a couple of days ago, because Linda was like, I wonder who did the study on coffee and sport. And this is from the British Journal of Sports Medicine. But, so of course, they're going to be promoting sports and physical activity. But I also don't think, you know, they're not trying to sell you mm-hmm. some sports equipment. They're just saying, do something. So they go on to say, What's more, exercise and fitness are beneficial to brain structure, brain function, and cognition. And this is from the experts that are involved in this study. So let's look at the three of these. Okay, they're three separate things. So first we have brain structure. How do you think that this would affect brain structure?
How the brain is developing, because with young kids, their brains are still growing. They're still developing.
Now I can imagine in this particular regard, you know, one of the things about physical exercise is that it, you know, increases your circulation, mm-hmm. gets your blood moving, gets that fresh oxygen to different parts of your body. So I would imagine in this particular case, having fresh, new, oxygenated blood going to all the different parts of your brain would then help it grow and develop.
Right, and also for the function. Okay, so if it's helping it grow and develop, there's more blood there, and it's increasing the brain's function as well. And their cognition. And, you know, this is just another word that means it's your cognition is when you're thinking or when you're using your brain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they all three of, it's so interesting, it affects all three of them. And all three of these, of course, work together. Okay? So you study something, and can you remember it, and how can you process it? That's what cognition is. So it's not just by one or two people. It says it's a group of 24 researchers, and they are from the West. They're from the U.S., Canada, and Europe, and they all came up with this advice after they did something. And what was that?
After they pored over the latest scientific and medical research on the benefits of exercise in kids ages 6 to 18. And we see the vocabulary focus phrase there, pore over, and that's just to look over or study something very carefully. So they were looking at all of this, the latest research on the benefits of exercise, and this is the advice that they came up with.
Okay, so we see that there has been some scientific study and medical research also, okay, and they looked over all of the studies and put it together. and came up with this advice. And what else did they do here? It says the experts, where are they from, Josh?
Well, so they're from a variety of disciplines. Mm-hmm. And so a discipline in the scientific community just means a different background or different areas of expertise.
Okay. And they gathered in Denmark, in Europe. So Copenhagen is in Denmark. And when they were together, they assessed or looked at the value of all kinds of exercise. This is what I thought was really interesting. So they didn't just look at, like, you have to do this one kind. So they looked at recess. That was every kid's favorite class mm-hmm. in elementary school. Okay, that means the time a short time you get to go out and play. And physical education classes, and organized youth sports leagues, and old-fashioned outdoor play. I thought it was interesting they said old-fashioned outdoor play. That just means going outside, like after school was out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you guys do that growing up?
Mm-hmm. I actually had a family in our community that had a huge tree and a rope, and all the kids in the area would go play around that tree, and there was a couple of broken bones because of it. But
it's okay.
But it's okay because nobody really got seriously hurt. I mean, everybody was able to heal back from that. But a lot of kids had a lot of good fun around that tree, and everybody in the neighborhood knew exactly where the kids were.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I was in a small town, and we rode our bikes all over town, and we used the town to play mm-hmm. in.
Yeah. We had a backyard. And so we had a swing set and, mm-hmm. you know, different things that, we'd go through as time went along. But, yeah, we would just go out in the backyard and play and, you know, make up our own games.
I think that's another thing that's missing in today's society. You made up your own games. Because that's what all the kids in the community, or even just when it was my brother and me playing, mm-hmm. We made up our own games.
Yeah. Yeah, you used your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd pretend like we were going to another planet or like on a safari hunting things. Yeah, so you really got to use your brain.
Right.
As well as your body.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that this covers a lot of different aspects of physical activity, because it says physical education classes in school also, often those are inside, they're not outside, and then organized youth sports leagues. And my kids grew up in Taipei, and they had recess and lunchtime breaks also, but they also had organized youth sports leagues that they played in from the time they were in kindergarten until they finished school, and that's after school sports. So you learn at the next part of this article is going to talk about that. There's something that you learn from each aspect of putting all of this together. And so there's something to be said for playing with your brother or sister in the backyard or your friends to having to follow rules for something also. So we're going to take a look at that in after we do this next section of our reading.
Though all of these activities take kids out of the classroom or away from their homework, they are still a good investment in academic achievement, the consensus statement says. Even a single break for moderate intensity exercise can boost brain function, cognition, and scholastic performance, according to the statement. Any kind of exercise is valuable, but goal-oriented activities provide extra benefits, the experts found. Among other things, they promote life skills and core values, like respect and social responsibility, they wrote in the statement. All of these are reasons why schools and communities should make sure kids have access to playgrounds, parks, and bike lanes, the statement says. And if you're worried that your son or daughter will lose precious minutes polishing up a book report or cramming for a final, you can relax. Time taken away from academic lessons in favor of physical activity has been shown to not come at the cost of scholastic performance, the experts wrote.
So we see that all of these activities take kids out of the classroom or away from their homework, but they are still a good investment in academic achievement. And that's what these experts, their consensus, they all agree on this. That's what their statement says. which is pretty interesting. And remember that this is a group from a variety of disciplines, and there are 24 of them that agreed on this.
So it's interesting that they, I mean, obviously they all agreed on this, and I really agree with them as well, mm-hmm. to tell you the truth. Not that I'm a big expert like they are, but I do know that in my own personal experience, when I spend time exercising, that it helps me afterwards to be able to focus, and I feel better, and mm-hmm. I'm able to really apply myself in the time that I have available, right? So as far as the physical investment leading to a mental investment, I think that connection was pretty clear for me.
And so if it's clear for you, it's also clear for our kids, you know? And it says here, I think it's kind of interesting, it's only, it's not even that much. It says a single break from moderate intensity exercise. So we're not even saying, you know, you have to run 20 miles or do 100 jumping jacks or sit-ups. Even moderate intensity exercise can have a lot of benefits. Brain function, cognition, and scholastic performance. Those are the big three that we're always looking for, right? Because that's what shows up on the test results.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I think it's kind of interesting. We've talked about the variety of kind of exercises, but while they say that any kind of exercise is valuable, there are some other extra benefits from goal-oriented activities. Right, Linda?
Right. So this would be referring to organized sports, like, say, baseball or basketball, where you do have a goal, you know. You have a goal of winning, mm-hmm. right, in these cases.
And they do a lot for us. It's not just the exercise itself that they're getting here. Okay, what else is happening here?
Well, I thought this was interesting, too, in order to create, like, a fuller sense of development, mm-hmm. not just in your scholastic, but also in your social skills. So that's, you know, core values, like being able to maybe lose graciously, as well as being disciplined in order to be able to put together a winning team, for example.
Right, and I thought this was kind of interesting. It says, well, they promote life skills like respect, and maybe you are the best player on your team, but that does not mean that you always have to have the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're learning kind of life skills, it's that way in life. You can't always, you know, be the head of everything that you're doing, so you have to learn to share. Otherwise, how is the other person ever going to improve?
And sometimes, really, in order to get to your goal, like, you need to make sure the team gets there, not just yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So being able to work as a team. So, yeah, one big benefit that I see is just the social aspect of being able mm-hmm. to interact mm-hmm. With your peers, right, and work together. And even the act of waiting, your turn, you know, because kids today, they have a problem. Adults, too, you know, instant gratification. Like, they have to have everything right now, right here, and they aren't able to wait. So, you know, not having these benefits from, or not having exercise, and therefore not having these benefits, we see this in society, like, with, first, physically, kids that are obese, right? Obesity is
Rise.
Yeah, definitely a problem, and it continues to be. Mentioned earlier, attention deficit or attention span deficits, and kids that are socially inept or awkward, they don't know how to interact with other people, right, because they're spending all of their time on their devices. So they're interacting online, but they're not learning social skills.
There have been so many articles written in the last 10 years about social isolation. We shouldn't just be focusing on adults for this. This is really important for kids, too, because you are not really learning these skills if you're sitting in a classroom with the teacher directing the class. You know, you're being watched. You know what you have to do there. So, but when you're out at recess or playing a sport, it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're developing other kinds of skills.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
So it says here at the top of the second paragraph that all of these are reasons why schools and communities, okay, should make sure that kids have several things. And these are not that big, you know, playgrounds, parks, and bike lanes. And I was also thinking, you know, when we're talking about goals, we're talking about team sports, but also even in a race, mm-hmm. you know, you have to be, there's a goal there, you know, and you have to be disciplined also individually, you know, so it goes across the board, I think.
Right, or just even climbing to the top of the pole, you know,
right.
that's
right.
the goal.
Right.
Or even today, I'm going to be able to make two runs around the park instead of just one because mm-hmm. I'm going to do it, right?
And here, if your kids have access to playgrounds, you know, on a playground, there's also give and take. You know, you can't sit for an hour and a half in that swing just because you want to. You have to learn to share it.
Right.
So, you know, parents, I think it says here, if you're worried about your child, your son or daughter will lose precious minutes polishing up a book report or cramming for a final. Remember, cramming means trying to stuff everything in for that final. You know, relax a little bit. You know, because, as Josh said, you know, when you exercise, you get more focus. You know, maybe you'll be able to study better or polish up your book report better after you've had some exercise. And what does this last paragraph say?
Well, so it's saying basically what you just summed up is that time spent away from academic lessons in favor of physical activity has been shown not to affect scholastic performance. So meaning exactly that people who can step away from the books, exercise a little bit and go back, they're not going to miss out.
And I know in our society today, this is hard to believe. I mean, we have been conditioned kind of not to believe this because I think we're becoming more of an inside society. But I think, you know, we need to read this over again and think about it and think what we really want for our children. Well, I want to thank you all for joining us, and I want to thank my panel for being here in the studio to discuss our newsworthy section. We hope that you will join us again here on Advanced Studio Classroom and think about the issues involved. Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.